And I can call the roll if you're ready.
Please.
Glenn Craig.
Here.
Sally Miley.
She waved acknowledgement.
I thought I unmuted myself. Sorry. I'm
okay.
Here.
Sylvia Moss.
Here.
Liv Revere.
Here.
Cherry of Quorum.
All right. Thank you. Approval of minutes from the September 25 meeting. Any comment motions on the minutes?
Move approval.
Sylvia? Or that was Sally?
Sally.
Okay. Any seconds?
Second.
Sylvia, any discussions on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I guess you guys vote. Any opposed? Hearing no oppositions, the minutes are approved. Dave, any public comment today?
No.
Okay. All right, let's go around with disclosures and recusals. I'll state that I'm on the Monona Terrace Convention and Visitors Bureau, or not convention, Community and Convention Center.
I'm a member of the board of Madison Opera, which is a residential of the arts.
The Room Tax Commission is my only commission.
All right. Mike?
And Glenn, I continue to serve on the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center Board, the Monona Terrace Booking Event Assistance Advisory Committee, and the Overture Center Foundation Board.
All right. No new ones this year, Mike?
No. That's it.
All right. Fantastic. Anybody else? Okay. Presentation on Event Booking Assistance Fund. Is that Bill?
And Ellie.
And Ellie. Oh, the co-partners.
Indeed.
Partners on the.
I've got the first two slides, and Ellie's going to bring it home.
Great.
Can everyone see that?
Beautiful on my screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Anyway. Right. Yeah, if you're all set, Dave, you could advance one, please. Thank you. All right, so we'll start with just a little bit of history. I didn't want to get in the weeds too much for you, but just to give you some sense, the Event Assistance Fund started as an idea in late 1997. There was a work group that convened. Members of Mayor Bauman's office, Alder Verveer was on this committee, this formative work group that studied this issue. Alder Susan Hamblin, you might remember, I was on it. Tom Zarnick was on it. Scott Smith was general manager of Easttown Suites at the time. John Grigas was general manager of the Radisson Inn in Madison. We had Paul LaRousse with Madison Metro. We had Nick Topetsis. He was on the GMCVB board, and Pete, his company at the time was PC Nametag. Then we had two staff members, the director of sales of at the time GMCVB, and one of their other staffers, Sue Sabatke, and Deb Archer was on this committee that was to advise the mayor and the council on how to approach this. And the committee moved forward, you know, with council action, and was constituted in the first quarter of 1998. I think I was appointed in April. I'm looking at the certificate, the 7th day of April in 1998, and was one of the founding members of it, along with Tom Zarnick, who still serves, and I think Alder Verveer, you joined later, but you've—I know you've served for a long time on the committee as well. And so, why did this happen? Well, it came about as a competitive response. Many cities have opportunity funds, is what they are often called, as a marketing tool to attract convention business. And you know, this is the competitive landscape that we faced back then, and that we face now. And so it's it was formed by action of the council and the committee. The Destination Madison makes requests of the committee within a set of rules that you'll see in a bit for funding to help attract groups to Monona Terrace and to Madison. And so the objectives are, as you'll see, are consistent with this type of activity. You know, we're trying to keep Monona Terrace and Madison as a destination in a competitive position. You know, we want the conventions. We want them to come with their wallets relatively full, and we want them to leave with their wallets relatively empty. But we can't do any of that unless they come to town. So this fund was to provide an additional marketing tool to close business, to confirm future business for Madison and Monona Terrace, and to give us a shot against competition that had this type of tool to work with. And ultimately, we want to increase the overnight business and support the growth of the transit occupancy tax fund that benefits so many of us. Next slide, please, Dave. So these are the rules of the road when Destination Madison brings a group to the committee. These things need to be present for them to qualify for the committee to consider the funding that is being requested. So they need to meet Monona Terrace's definition of a convention. And you might say, what is that definition? It's peak room nights of 250 or more. And it's a multi-space, multi-day business. And we like to see 60,000 minimum building spend with that, but that isn't an absolute requirement, but it really helps Destination Madison when they prospect to look for that type of building spend. Those are our priority one conventions. They can book out as far as they would like, ideally more than 2 years out. We would like to see those come on our books. Then we have a little bit smaller convention. Those are priority twos. And as you might expect, they have a little bit smaller room night situation. Their peak room nights are 150 to 249. And again, they're multi-space, multi-day business. And there we look for hopefully 40,000 in building spend for Monona Terrace, just as a prospecting tool for Destination Madison. We want the event to not have been contracted. You know, this needs to be what helps close the deal, you know, that they will sign a contract and come to Madison to Monona Terrace. We want them to have at least 75% of their programmed events at Monona Terrace. You know, if they want to do an offsite event somewhere, more power to them. You know, we want that to spread around the city, but we do want them to primarily be at Monona Terrace. Also that they use a minimum of two hotels within the City of Madison room tax district. We didn't want the benefit of this to be so concentrated in one hotel. So it's a requirement that they used to, and it's also a requirement to spread the benefit around more, that they use a minimum room block of 50 rooms at the second hotel. And then also plus one of the following, that they have a minimum direct spending impact of 100,000 when everything is counted. And also that they, or they have a minimum out-of-town attendance of 400, because we want to drive the hotel room night stays. And now Ellie will take over.
Great job, Bill. Thank you. So we thought it would be helpful if we showed you one that we approved and what that did for our community. But in July of 2023, The committee approved an appropriation of $10,871 for Solution Tree. And we use that for facility rental assistance for their professional learning communities at work Institute. Their direct visitor spending for the conference totaled just over $700,000. So yeah, we spent $10,000, but this is what we got in return in our community. So this is why this fund is so important. Next slide, Dave. So we took a look at the whole year and we appropriated about $172,000 over 12 events for 2023 for future years. And that direct visitor spending was $8.7 million. So because we have those very defined guidelines of like, before we would consider contributing money to this organization for a facility spend, they have to reach these guidelines. It's very specific that we know that it's going to create this economic impact in our city. Next slide, Dave. So this is our event advisory committee members. These are appointed by the mayor. And the process, what happens is whenever Destination Madison identifies a group to come in and we start working with, they start as a prospect, we start working with them. We find out what all their specs are. We want to make sure that it's going to fit at Monona Terrace. Then we have a booking assistance form that we complete and we check the boxes to make sure that we've got all the, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed. And then once we have a collection of those, usually three, four, lately they've been 10 or 11, then we pull this committee together and we run through all of it with the committee, and all the committee gets all the forms. So they see all the paperwork, all the backup, everything they need to make informed decisions and ask informed questions, which they do, which is great. Dave, that might be our last slide. Thank you. That is our last slide.
Very nice. Very nice job. That shows good leverage, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And it's, you know, that's the competitive environment of which we are working now. And so I want to thank the Room Tax Commission because 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we increased that fund. You guys increased that fund. And that really goes a long way because when we are competing against, we consistently compete against cities that are larger than ours. So we're not competing consistently against Omaha or Des Moines, which you would think we are. It's not that we're not competing against them, but a lot of times it's against a Detroit, a Milwaukee, a Pittsburgh, and we got to go in there in a very competitive way. And this allows us to do that. So it is really integral to our future success.
Fantastic. Any questions for Ellie and Bill? Appreciate it. I guess it's time for the room tax fund. David, yep. You have some good news for us today or?
Sure do.
Good.
All right, can everyone see that?
Ah, we can, yes.
Super. So third quarter collections came in. They're a bit anomalous, but they're good news. They're up almost 20% from 2023, quarter to quarter. Year over year, about 6%. Now, much of that third quarter increase is one-time money. It's a payment from Priceline for prior year room taxes. We don't know when or if those will occur. Priceline, I think, will continue to make those payments now on a quarterly basis. But apparently they had identified that they had not been paying room taxes to the city for some span of time. We also have sent them basically a bill for interest and penalties. We do not know if they will make that payment. If we take Priceline, this one-time payment out, the adjusted growth rate is about 4.4% quarter to quarter. And about 1.2% year over year. So of course that's gonna affect the 2024 projection. It's gonna push it up by about 1.2 million compared to what was used for the 2025 budget forecast. Because it's one-time money, it doesn't affect the 2025 forecast that much. It boosts it by about $100,000 because we don't expect that Priceline payment to continue. At least at the level of the one-time payment. And then the fourth quarter projections will be available in 2025. All right. So the forecast now, as I said, 22.4 million this year. That'll be about 6% over the prior year actual. And then we'll actually get a little bit less in 2025 just because of that one-time Priceline payment. So about 2% less than 2024. As the graph to the right shows, we pretty much, room tax collections have pretty much returned to the pre-COVID baseline, which is what you see there. We've seen historic growth rates of between 4% and 8%, you know, when we take out, adjust it for rate increases and the pandemic impacts. And then based on the budget that you approved in September, we will finish 2024, with the revenue forecast, we'll finish 2024 with $3.7 million balance. That'll be reduced to about $932,000 by the end of 2025, based on the budget that you adopted in September and the revenue forecast. And then based on assumptions that you see in the graph below, basically the 28% of room tax to Destination Madison, the 30% of room tax to the general fund, some small growth in Monona Terrace, continued support for the zoo and Olbrich at 50% of costs, and Overture and Alliant growing at about 3% annually. And then funding Monona Terrace capital, basically split cash for equipment, borrowing for major renovations and building improvements. And then the debt service associated with that. In 2026, there'd be a small deficit that assumes 5% revenue growth, so a deficit of about $263,000. And then you can see that deficit grows considerably as a share of tax appropriations. Now, this isn't much different than what you saw in September. It's just a reminder that this is an issue out there in terms of that structural gap between the ongoing expenditures in the fund and expected growth based on sort of these historical norms. So that's it on the room tax collections and forecast.
Can we take questions on that right now, Dave, or do you want to keep going?
Go right ahead.
I'll just throw out my Priceline question. That sounds like it was a cumulative amount that an error over a period of years, right? So it's not right. It wouldn't be an annual. And if you calculated the interest and penalties already, you must know how many years that was for. Do you have a good idea? Is that something you can tell us? Or?
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, is about 3 years, 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I think ever since this sort of marketplace law was in place, that the Department of Revenue, the State Department of Revenue kind of administers. And so my guess is that we don't have much more information than that Priceline had not really been paying attention to what was coming through its marketplace, sort of its internet portal in effect, or reservations made for hotels and things like that.
Is that pretty much track like the Airbnbs or the other online booking systems?
Well, really, the big ones are Expedia, which we do get, you know, a payment quarterly. Airbnb, we do have a sort of separate agreement with them, and we do get quarterly payments. We did get sort of a one-time payment from a similar marketplace in 2023, but it was at a much smaller scale. And we haven't gotten payments from them since then. I think it was called Evolve.
I'm assuming this is a competitive business and it could vary. You probably can't count on the same levels each year. Probably.
No, and these back payments are kind of difficult to, monitor or know what's going to happen. We're starting to talk internally with our treasury folks on, well, how are we going to audit those sorts of things, which is really difficult to do. And There are some responsibilities that the Department of Revenue has at the state level, but it's not really at the kind of, you know, level of data detail that I think would be helpful with those things. So it's an evolving area and one that we need to continue to try to find ways to understand better and hopefully try to forecast better.
Thank you. Other questions? No questions. We've memorized those charts already. So the assumptions you used for the fund balance, they're very familiar and current. Not necessarily a good trend, right? And so we'll have to address that as a commission as we move into 2025. All right. No other questions. I will move on to the next agenda item, statement of interest forms or meeting formats for 2025.
Right.
This is where we talk about virtual versus in-person meetings.
That's right. So can everybody see that slide?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want me to walk through this, Chair?
Sure. Yep.
So typically we'll have the quarterly meetings each quarter after we have the room tax collections available. So we will have one in February or March, that period of time roughly in 2025. In the past, since the pandemic, you've decided to have that as a virtual meeting. That would review the actuals from 2024 and the 2025 forecast. As you know, you have one member that has resigned, and that means the vice chair is currently empty, and there would be an election for the vice chair at that meeting. And then the Arts Commission has made a request to reappropriate some unspent money that they were appropriated in the 2024 allocation. And so that would be presented to you at that meeting for a decision, which would, in effect, amend your 2025 budget, but take into account that money was unspent that would otherwise be in the room tax fund balance because of that. Then there would be a meeting in May or June, late May, early June, another virtual meeting that would look at the first quarter 2025 actual collections and how that might impact the 2025 full year forecast. And then, as you know, there's two meetings in that late August, early to mid September period. One is to talk about preliminarily hear from groups that receive allocations from the Room Tax Commission and what that might mean for 2026, as well as looking at the second quarter of 2025 room tax collections, looking at forecasts and things like that. And then a second meeting to adopt your the Room Tax Commission budget allocations for 2026. And meeting like this one a year from now, which will look at the 2025 and 2026 forecasts and the meeting schedule again. So I think the sort of assumption here is this pattern would continue unless you want to, change the format, whether it's either virtual or in person. But what's presented to you here would be virtual for all the meetings except those related to the budget allocations, the two meetings in August and September.
I think that has been pretty efficient, not necessarily just COVID, but the winter months doing virtual on these update meetings are probably effective. At least they have been for me. I'd like to hear if anybody has a question on those. And the in-person meetings were very important for the presentations and the allocations. Any other thoughts?
No, I agree with you, Glenn. The virtuals have been working well for me also, and the in-person in August and September for decision is good, and who wants to be in the cold in December.
All right.
I was going to say the same thing. Do you that I agree with the schedule as we've been doing it. Do we need a motion? Can we just say we like it and we're good with it?
I think you do have to vote on it. So.
Oh, okay. Right.
Any motions on that one?
I make a motion that we retain our schedule for 2025 as it was
presented
to us.
Mm-hmm. Any seconds?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? Anybody opposed to that, please identify yourselves. It looks like everybody's smiling, so I think it's approved. So thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And we just have the last item.
Okay.
And this is just a reminder, and you should have received an email about this regarding a statement of interest forms. That email should have come from the city clerk. And just a reminder to complete those statement of interest forms by July 2nd of 2025.
January,
my apologies. January 2nd of 2025. That does say that on the, I just read it wrong. January 2nd. And then members not completing the form by the deadline may not be able to participate in or vote on any matter before the commission. And if you continue to fail to complete the form, it could result in your removal from the commission. So just a reminder of that. And please, those of you who have to fill out those forms, please do so.
I think we've always been pretty good at that. These came out, it's been a couple months, hasn't it? Or am I?
I think it was maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah, oh, just weeks. Okay. I better check my email to make sure. I usually
it was around November 22nd when it came out from the clerk's office.
Three weeks or so.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure they'll remind us if we misplace those. Okay, thank you. I don't see any other agenda items, and if that is the case, I would like to entertain any motions to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Sylvia and Sally, second. Anybody opposed to adjourning, let me know. Looks like we're good. Thank you all. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
And we will see you at the